Jobless claims are headed in the wrong direction again. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. 362,000 Americans filed for unemployment insurance last week. That is another way of saying a bunch of people lost their jobs. 11,000 more than the week before, and well above what economists were expecting. Diane Swonk is chief economist with Grant Thornton and joins us to talk about it. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
We've got weekly unemployment claims. They went up for the third week in a row. That's not what we want to hear. What's going on there?
Uncertainty has gone up about the outlook at the very moment. The handoff between the public sector supporting the economy through the COVID crisis to the private sector picking up that baton has not gone as smoothly as anyone liked. And the reality is that everything from chip shortages the world over that were exacerbated by the Delta surge in emerging markets, idling production plants here in the United States, most notably in the auto industry, where layoffs picked up during the month of September. But also we saw the Delta variant take a toll on retail and leisure and hospitality in the U.S. as well in the most recent weeks. And that's worrisome because that's the areas that were hit hardest by layoffs.
Mm. Diane Swonk, always with the valuable context, chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is a dollar store still a dollar store if most of its products cost more than a dollar? With inflation creeping up, discount chain Dollar Tree says it's going to start raising some prices and carrying more items that cost, I don't want to alarm anyone, but $1.25 or even $1.50 as part of a test. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has this look.
The first Dollar Tree opened in 1986. Back then, it was called Only $1. And that 1986 dollar is worth more than $2 today. John Strong, a retail professor at William & Mary, says the discount chain has been faced with,
how do I find ways to purchase products that I can sell at a dollar?
Generic brands and smaller packages work, but only for so long. By charging more than a buck, Strong says Dollar Tree will be able to stock items with higher profit margins. John Zhang researches pricing strategy at Wharton. He says dollar store customers are price sensitive. They're also loyal.
I think a Dollar Tree in this particular case just means that it is a cheap store.
Dollar Tree plans to open 1,500 traditional stores next year and 5,000 locations of Dollar Tree Plus over the next few years. Items there cost up to $5. Zhang says the company could have a branding problem.
It would be really interesting if later on they change their Dollar Tree as Dollar's Tree.
Dollar's Tree doesn't quite have the same ring to it. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
We're watching one documentary a month for our Econ Extra Credit project, and this time around, it's Enron, the smartest guys in the room. It's about how the energy company fooled investors and regulators with its accounting and the corporate collapse that ensued once the public found out. Enron's death spiral really kicked into gear 20 years ago next month, and one of the many takeaways has to do with personal finances, how investing all of your money in your own company's stock might not be the wisest move. David Brancaccio spoke about this with Jason Zweig, who writes the Intelligent Investor column for the Wall Street Journal.
I suppose it's, you know, nice to have some skin in the game with your own company so that if your company's doing great because of all your hard work, you get a little piece of it in your portfolio. I mean, that's not irrational.
No, it's not. But I mean, I think the danger is that we all have heard stories about the earliest employees at Google or Microsoft or any number of other companies who made millions or tens or hundreds of millions of dollars by investing in their own company's stock. We don't hear the stories of people who did the same thing at companies that went bust. And that's one of the great virtues of the Enron story, which is it reminds us that, you know, most companies over time don't perform as well as the market as a whole because stocks overall are driven by the handful of companies that outperform. And to get the full return of the stock market, you have to invest in all the stocks available, not just your own.
Yeah. I just want to be sure people are hearing what Jason Swag at the Wall Street Journal, who writes about this stuff, is saying. Think about diversification, not just for the Enron reason, but for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah. And within a year of when Enron went broke, I was giving a talk before a group of individual investors. And I told the audience, this is the reason why it's so important to diversify in your 401k, because although the odds are low, the consequences are really severe if the company where you work turns out to be the next Enron. And somebody got up in the back of the room and started screaming at me. And he's saying, I work for the safest company in America, the greatest long-term stock performer in American history, and I'm never going to diversify. And I said, oh, where do you work? And he said, I work at General Electric. This was in 2001. GE stock had hit an all-time record high. And over the next 20 years, it ended up losing about 80% of its market value. So at the very moment when it would have been wisest for him to diversify, he was convinced that that would be the craziest thing he could possibly do. And I've never forgotten that, because what it really shows is that when people have a conviction about something that's close to them, is really hard to shake. And I don't know whatever happened to that fellow. I hope at some point he diversified before it was too late. But what a terrible way to learn an important lesson.
Always good to talk to Jason Swag, personal finance columnist at the Wall Street Journal, where he writes the Intelligent Investor column. Jason, thanks.
Thanks so much for having me on.
We're watching one economy-related documentary a month here on The Morning Report, and you can follow along with our Econ Extra Credit newsletter, if you aren't already. That's at marketplace.org/newsletters. I'm Sabri Benishor with The Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.